Welcome to another episode of Love Notes. This is Taquita Love, a nurse and a comedian.
You think you could bring your brother the clear machine home? You know the revival.
And I'm talking to my funny friends about medical mishaps.
Clear!
You are listening to Love Notes.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Taquita Love, and I'm here with one of my really dope friends, comedian, actor, entrepreneur, dope. You may have seen him killing it in New York at Caroline's. He got a comedy special touring all over. Jeremy Scipio.
This is nice though. It's professional. Like, I was telling him your podcast got a waiting room. You already killed it. Most podcasts, I'd be like, actually, last podcast I did had to give a nigga a ride to the place. I always like your outfits. Like seriously, I can always tell when you like when you're a grown woman. You know what I mean? You always look good, carry yourself well. You know what I mean?
You know why I got all these clothes?
What?
Shopping addict. You know that. I'm a hoarder.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm shopping expert is what I call myself, but.
Oh, you can definitely tell. I can always tell when your life is going like amazing, which is more often than not.
Oh, thank you. Oh, you know me in some bad times though.
I had
surgery?
Yeah, of course.
Oh my God. I've known Jeremy for, has it been like?
Probably 8 years.
Probably when I started comedy. Open mic on Sunset. Mm-hmm. Sunset Grill.
All of it.
Remember, yeah. That's where we used to see each other all the time. Every Sunday, I'd be like, were we the only black people at the open mic? I think so.
Well, I remember the first, I think I seen you as at the Comedy Store. I don't know if the first time I seen you.
When I did the This Nigga Here, though?
This joke. Nigga. This Nigga Here.
I did Potluck at the Comedy Store. The first time that they put me up, and Teddy Ray was there. Mm-hmm. And I did a joke, my first joke. And the runner was, you know, I was talking about dating outside of my race, but then the guy was still black or whatever. So mm-hmm. I would say all this stuff that he did that was like black people stuff. Like he had his socks on, but he was naked. And I was like, this nigga here. And like every time I said this nigga here, everybody in the comedy store was and it was like, that was, I killed it in my, you know, in that stage of my comedy. But yeah. I really was like, you know, that's not me no more.
I don't know. You don't talk like that no more?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
No, you know what I mean. But like, I feel like my jokes evolved. It was just like, I was like, it was like, da-dun. I think the whole joke was this nigga here. Like, it could have been a song. This nigga here, this nigga here, this nigga here, this nigga here.
Is it too late? I think that should be, can we get that going? This nigga here song? This is Hot Girl Summer. I think this nigga
Hot Girl Summer over.
Oh, it is? Oh.
Yeah, I think it's over.
Maybe because I'm not a hot girl. I didn't know the time.
I'm not a hot girl either. But I do know it's over. Okay. It's over for me if it's still out there. I don't know. What's been going on with you? Don't laugh at me.
It's fine.
You laughing?
No, I'm thinking. No, it's fine. I just know this conversation is going to get personal because we're like personal friends.
So. Well, that's what it's supposed to do. I mean, it is. I remember. Let me see.
Because you're like, so what happened?
No, I want to ask about your hair. But not in a bad way. Just like, I see you got a new look, but I know you just got back from New York.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just be killing it. And ever since I met you, you always been like, this is the personal part, the independent, like I'm on my own and like, I ain't let no comedian ride with me cause I don't babysit comedians.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of funny. I'm a little older now. So whenever I hear about things I've said in my past or whatever, I kind of like, you know, I'm a little more humble, you know? But yeah, still, I ain't babysitting no comments though. Fuck that. But no, I'm kidding. But no,
I didn't know what that meant until somebody asked me for a ride home, and I gave them a ride home, and then it was like not close to where I was going,
mm-hmm.
and they was like, yeah, I'm right back. You know, I'm right in that area. You know, mm-hmm. and I didn't get the address or nothing, and I'm driving. Then you know, like they take away from your what you got to do.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna lie.
That's people to be like, where you live? Take another right.
Then you be an hour away from where you really live.
Mm-hmm. But no, you know, I guess the mature way to respond to that is, you know, it's kind of the way I was raised. My mom, you know, I was only I was raised up just me and my mom, whatever. And my mom, she type push you out the nest. You know what I mean? Like, you go get it on your own. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to, I mean, she'd tell you a little bit, but she wasn't the type to hold your hand or baby. I'm not a mama's boy because this is not how she pushed me out there. And that's the type of love that, I don't know, that's how I communicate love. Okay. It may seem harsh, whatever, but it's like, that's the best way. Like when you get the full lesson, you come back, you know, and mature, you gotta have a new mind, state of mind. You're like, man, I appreciate the person who pushed me out there. And you know, it's like you give instruction and then you go, hey, go get it on your own. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Then you get a full understanding. You get to come back and be like, I feel you. Like, you care about me. I care about you. You know what I'm saying?
The tough love.
Yeah, but
I'm only beating you because I love you.
I said I want to beat my kids, but I ain't got kids yet. We'll see.
I feel like if you got whoopings, then I feel like something innately in you will be like, it's not right unless you get one. You know, like, you. Yeah, but maybe. I don't have kids, so I can't, you know. But I feel like I probably will be that girl.
Are they coming?
Huh? I don't. They're not here.
I'll leave it alone.
Ha! It's all about you now. But no. So maybe tell me a little bit about your comedy journey. I know when I met you, you were already a comedian. But what was your life like before making the plunge to LA?
I think every comedian has, for the most part, two start times. I mean, first start time is when you're like you're thinking about doing it and then you finally do it and you get all the jitters out. And then the second start time is when you're like, yo, this is my life. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I say, you know, before when I had tried it when I was, I'll say 18 or maybe 19, something like that. I tried it, but it just didn't go well. Let's just put it that way. And I went back to a regular life. Like, and, you know, I dropped out of college and I was working three jobs. I was working like... I worked at this country club. I was a caddy and stuff like that. Then valet, everything. It's like we used to call it the plantation. It was just working for a bunch of Jewish, you know, people, whatever. And I also worked at Jackson Hewitt. I did taxes.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. And then I did what else? Oh yeah. Then I worked at this factory job, third shift, and that's the one that really wiped me out. But, you know, it's crazy. I just held my head down. And I you know, had some money, you know what I mean? Because I was scared of adulthood. Like, I didn't know exactly what being grown was, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? I was like, you know, like, you always took care of yourself, so you ain't had to worry about that. But
I'm the oldest. Yeah. I took care of everybody. I'm done raising kids, probably.
Well, yeah, I just was like, I don't know. I was just like what's, you know, like, you think you're ready, but you ain't really ready, so... You know, once I had a little money in the bank after, you know, my fear, this fear-induced thing that made me work super hard, I was like, man, I can do what I want. Mm-hmm. And that's when I tried comedy again. I went to, in Cincinnati, the Funny Bones was actually in Kentucky. It's in this place called Liberty now. And, yeah, I met some people, and from there, I took a comedy class. Surprise! It was like whatever.
But I felt like you'd be so anti-comedy classes. Because when I took one, you was like, you don't need no class.
Well, this is my thing on classes. It's really all about your mentality. Mm-hmm. It's, if you don't have the time or you need the courage, mm-hmm. take a comedy class. You know what I'm saying? But if you know the game and you're in it, you probably don't. The student has become the master. You embody that. But I'm not against comedy class. I mean,
I never knew you took a class, though.
Yeah. And a matter of fact... when I visited here in 2009, and I remember I met David Arnold at the Chocolate Sundae, and he was the one that encouraged me to move out here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he told me, he said, either you do it in New York or LA, or you playing. And that's when I made up my mind. I think it was like April, whatever that year. By August, I moved. Mm. And I left my girlfriend, and I left my car, everything. I just left everything behind. I took a plane trip, one suitcase, and I was here.
What?
Yep.
And look at you now.
Where am I?
I mean, didn't you just get off tour?
Yeah. I went to, I did New York mostly. Then I went to Philly, Dallas. You know, I'll be honest. I just got to tell this part. Man, have you ever missed your plane?
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
Embarrassing to you or the people that saw you run to get it and like hoping you got on, but looking at you like you didn't get
it? It was embarrassing for myself mm-hmm. because I had to buy my own ticket. Like, it was like...
That's the adulthood that you was talking about.
Like, it was just like I had a existential moment. I was just like... I mean, at the same time, I'm blessed that I'm able... Like, I made enough money doing comedy to where it was nothing. Like, I just bought another ticket. Mm. But at the same time, it's just like, you just wasting... I can hear my mama like, nigga, you just wasting all that damn money, all that funny money.
Like, so, yeah, at least you didn't have to wait in the airport until somebody, until you was able to reach out to somebody that agreed to Western Union use some money, no, so no. that you could get it.
Yeah, I went to, yeah, I just pretty much and I went to Dallas, and I just got my my Carolines check, and I had to break it open already. So,
but you got a Carolines check. That's how was that?
Yeah, that was my first time headlining Carolines. I've been you know, when you people always ask like how you get into comedy clubs and stuff like that, and you know, the truth is I'm in a couple comedy clubs, several comedy clubs, and I don't really have the answer. I just know I started comedy around 2010, but I started going to New York around 2011, I think, you know. But I lived in LA, and New York, you know, the comedy scene, it's rough, you know, just like any other scene. But you know, if you just keep showing face and you know putting in time, you know, and over time, you know, I had kind of worked my way in there. I opened up for some pretty big acts. I opened up for Al Madrigal and Dion Cole. All
right.
Who else? Jay Farrell. I opened up for them. You know, just over time, you know, I of course you think you're gonna headline one day, but you know, well, one day the booker saw me perform, and she goes, "Hey, do you wanna do one of these?" And I'm like, yeah, I wanted to say no because I was thinking like, oh man, I gotta think ahead. But you like, you don't turn down an opportunity like that. So I took it, and I was surprised at my turnout. I had a really good turnout. For a city I don't live in, you know, and yeah, I mean, it was a lot of love. A lot of the comics showed me love. A lot of the people, just New Yorkers, and it was great.
That's huge. I think I saw Megan Salsa.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw on her Instagram that she was out. Did she come to your show?
No, she came the day after my show.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's dope, though. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, look at you. Yeah, oh, look at Jeremy that never used to want to offer people rides.
I'm just headlining.
I'm on tour. And I remember when I'm from Chicago, you plugged me with Ronnie Ray, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then when I went out there, he gave me, you know, spots on his shows.
Chicago's one of my favorite cities to do comedy in. Like, I think that's like I think that's like the quintessential place to start comedy. Like, all you Chicago comics are good. Like, I haven't met a terrible Chicago comic yet.
I think that I met some people from Chicago that's not good. But the people that you do know from Chicago represent. They represent 100%.
Yeah, I just think it's a good comedy mecca. Yeah, the clubs. I mean, every club. I mean, it's one of my favorite cities to go to. Like, whenever I go. I don't like using the term tour, but whenever I go around
on tour, you tour is going to place and performing. And
you're right.
I mean, that's tour. Right? I'm going on tour soon.
Oh really?
Yeah, I am.
Oh cool.
I'm going to Atlanta. I'm going to Miami, Atlanta, Chicago, and Montana.
Okay. Hopefully, some of our dates match up.
Well, we could see what's up with that. I remember one time I was in Chicago and you were there for shows, maybe. And it was when my father was in the father.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if what happened. Me and my stepmama got into it.
We were supposed to meet up, and you had me waiting at Subway, and you like hold on. I was like on my way, and he was like, hold on, wait. And I'm like, I'm in Subway just waiting, and then you was he was arguing
with my stepmama. I got into an argument with my stepmama. When my dad was in the hospital. So my dad was in the hospital. You know, like all this family shit happened. It was just like family turmoil.
Yeah.
I think it was around Thanksgiving?
Yeah, Thanksgiving.
Christmas. Like I think there was something happened where like my stepmama didn't want us to see my dad. Or she didn't want my mom to be with us or something.
You was trying to fight her, weren't you? No, your mom was.
My mom don't do that.
You was trying to fight her.
I think something happened, and I was just like, you know, like we could, you know when you why it you came out of me.
Why you say
I think
happens,
I did.
Like you got like, listen. Is it a lawsuit out there that you can't speak about?
But you know, it's over with. You know, we back our family back together again and stuff. Like, it was just like, you know how I be. Like, it's like I don't mess with her, and then it's just like, but she just sent me a bottle of wine, so it's like, how could I? No, but I was pissed. I was like, I don't know, get your wife, get her. You know how people, you know, we did all that, and then.
Yeah, that was a good time. Like I said,
but I'm sorry. I know I said I was sorry, but I was like,
we were friends. It's not a big deal.
Security almost escorted us out. They didn't want to because they wanted to see the fight. You know, they was just like, we gotta act like we want to dumb it down, but we really want some action in this hospital.
How's your family doing? Anyway?
Everybody doing good. My dad actually just moved to Vegas.
Oh, okay.
My mom will be out here soon.
Okay.
you know, my brother still nursing. That don't even sound right. My brother's still nursing. It sounds like he's still, but my brother a nurse. And my sister Shaquita, you met her. She's a nurse too.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, we all everybody popping. Yeah,
got some bread, living comfortably. That's cool.
Trying. Everybody left me alone. I'm so happy.
Oh yeah, you like the?
I'm the oldest, so like now, like my sister who you normally would be like, let me hold something. Now she like cash at me for stuff that she, you know.
Oh, that's tight.
Like she paying me back, and I'm just like. And now I'll be like, yeah, I want my money back. You know, at first I was like, no, I'm good. You know, do you, you know, get Starbucks on me. And I'll be like.
You just reminded me. You know, Taquita, you always held me down whenever I had a single Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
You're always one of my first stops. You came. I've helped you cook food.
Oh, everything. I remember. And I
would say at least three Thanksgivings.
And you know what? Three. You messed my
No, that wasn't me.
You don't eat eggs.
I don't eat eggs.
And I had to make you a special batch of macaroni and cheese.
Mm-hmm. You always took care of me.
No, yeah, that's what friends do. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how it happened.
I remember Jamar.
You got to bring that up. So this is, you know, like since I was in LA and I cooked, you know, what did I cook? Thanksgiving, all Thanksgiving shit, you know.
Of turkey stuffing.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what was the special thing that I was so excited about dressing. I was, because it was like my second or third year making my mama dressing. And it wasn't all the way there, but it was closer. And my brother was real happy. He was like, yeah, you almost there. But yeah, you came over. And I think other comedians I was cool with came through and got a plate. But you brought Jamar Neighbors with you. And he pulled. That's why you ain't been. That's why you have not been invited to another Thanksgiving after that.
That's not true. That's not true.
The guest you brought, he pulled the turkey leg off the turkey before we even cut the turkey.
See, the thing is, he's not used to. I feel like there's a I don't know. There's a thing. Maybe it's just our thing. I don't know. But we tried a food before. So you're like, oh, yeah, you can try it stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean,
if you pull from the turkey, you pull from like the middle, or the underpiece.
So, yeah, under. You go under all the stuff.
Yeah, he ruined the aesthetic by grabbing the whole leg and just acting like this is regular.
My brother was like,
who has a missing turkey leg?
It was cool, though. It was fun, though. It was a lot of fun. I felt like I didn't really know that a lot of people. I didn't have many friends, so it was just like, you know, y'all came through.
You were my homegirl. You held me down, like I said. And, you know, I've been there through multiple relationships of yours.
So, oh, yeah, you have. Yes, 1 to 10. I remember all that.
1 to 10.
Well, you're not going to get on that. Okay. Huh? Oh, what? No, go ahead. No, you could say it.
Do you do any jokes about?
I remember I started, but I ain't finished it, but I probably will.
Okay.
Yeah.
1 to 10, that's fine. Well, we did that show together. That was like most of the...
It was all... What was that? The couples therapy.
I ain't gonna lie. When I envisioned us doing the show together, that's all I was thinking about. I was
1 to 10? He's like, how can I talk about all of her bad relationships? How can I bring up all the niggas she done been with?
Not all. I didn't put you out there like that.
And then I was like, my boyfriend's here, so can you please not be telling all my business? And you was like, my girlfriend here, don't tell my business. And we got on stage and we told each other's business.
That was so funny.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, you know. Yeah. Yeah, you know all my business. Not all of it, but enough. But this show is about you. So, you know, how's everything going in your life?
Everything's good in my life besides this midlife crisis thing on my head.
Oh, yeah, okay. I was wondering what, you know.
It's about working, you know, sometimes you want to be in a different headspace to work.
So you dyed your hair?
It's opposite of my personality. No, you're right. It's just opposite of who I am. So I'm just trying to try something different.
I like it. Thank you. I'll see you. Doing your thing. I'm so proud of you. Aww. Oh, look at Jerry.
Grown.
All right.
These mics are so nice that I can hear smacking. Oh, that's you.
Like a little mouth.
Oh, you're being so goofy right now. I was like, like a fish.
Keisha was on here. She was so funny. She was talking about, I've thought about her because I think I met her through you, maybe.
Yeah.
She's so cute. She's like that. She said, She said when she talked about, you know, her the cancer stuff,
mm-hmm.
and she was like, I knew something was wrong because they had the waterfall on in the office when I went the second day. The first day they didn't have the waterfall.
Oh, on. That's crazy. What's that supposed to mean? That's silly.
That's gonna break the news.
Yeah.
Turn the waterfall. Hey, that's funny. Gotta break the news.
That's funny.
What has been the highlight of your career so far? As a comedian.
Oh, highlights. Let's see. I don't know. It's always, I feel like there's always moments mm-hmm. where you I feel like when you first start, you know, people love to tell you like, oh, you know, you ain't really, especially black people, like, oh, you ain't really that funny. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I can do that, you know. And then you always go to a new point of no return where it's just like, well, a new threshold, a new whatever. You know, my first really nice check.
It's how like, much was it?
Oh, dang.
I
want to
know because
first time I got paid like $2,000 for doing stand-up comedy uh-huh. for, you know, a weekend. It was like,
okay.
Wow. You know what I mean? When I opened for Russell Peters, I think that was one of the first times. And like, you know, like I didn't realize it till like it didn't hit me until after I already got back to L.A. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, dang, I can't go back. Like I'm, you know, certain things don't affect you anymore. You know what I mean? Certain things like, you know, like what is Jeremy doing out there? You know, like that, like, yo, cut it out. And then also too, I opened for Gary Owen in, cause Gary Owen is from Cincinnati, Ohio too. And, you know, just going back, that was like a complete year from when I had started comedy, when I left, I left LA. So by the next Thanksgiving, you know, I was inviting everybody out to the biggest comedy club in my hometown. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just something about my family sitting there. And they like, you know, especially like, hey, you know, don't be doing all that cussing and stuff. It's like, yeah, sit in the front row. I cuss more than I normally do because I need you to feel that. You know what I'm saying? I want you to feel that I am uncontrollable. You know what I'm saying? There's like 700 people in the audience. And that was just a good feeling. First time on television. For stand-up at least that was I don't know, that was actually unexpected. I wasn't expecting that. It was Stand Up and Deliver.
Okay.
Yeah. Remember it was at the they filmed at the Improv, and it was like, once again, it didn't hit me till later, till, you know, as dumb as it is, I don't even like bragging about it because it sounds stupid, but you know, people, I was at Wendy's and someone was like, man, you was on TV. I'm like, nah, that's not me. No, for real, that one show with the Spanish lady. You know, you do comedy. I was like, yeah, that's, you know, so, you know, little things like that.
Oh, that's dope. That's crazy that we do all this work because a lot of people want to be noticed, and mm-hmm. when you notice, you be like, nah, that ain't me.
Yeah, well, I'm I don't know. I hate saying this as a comic because it sounds stupid, but I feel like I'm an introvert. You know what I mean?
A lot of comedians are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but it was like when you speak out to people, mm-hmm. you know, people, it just, that comes out kind of weird. But yeah, it's like, you know, it's really weird, but I don't do comedy to be famous in that way. I mean, of course I would love it. You know, it's just, I feel like it's just the best medium for my personality type, mm-hmm. you know, like for how I think, mm-hmm. like what other way can I get paid to say the things I say or think the way I think? You know what I mean? And people reward you for it. Like, you know, because most times people just say, shut up. I remember I was dating this one girl. You know, she got mad at me. And she was like, you're not a comedian. You're a clown. You're just a clown. And I was like, how am I a clown? But you the one with orange hair and makeup. And that stuck with her.
Yeah. Huh? Blonde.
It was orange, but it was like, you know, whatever. It was a tint. It looked good on her. It just came out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, I am a comedian.
Yeah, but you can't do that. You can't do that anywhere else in your life and get rewarded.
Yeah.
And she told that joke to her mama, and they always bring that up to me. Like, I was so mad, but it was so funny. And, you know, just things like that. You know, that's why I do it, and I'm happy I'm comfortable.
Good. Mm-hmm. That's dope.
Yeah.
I know the first time I was recognized, I was at the vet taking my dog for, like, shots or something. And the girl,
Blue.
Yeah, Blue. And the girl at the counter, she was like, Miss Love, did I see you on, you do comedy. I was on Laughs on Fox, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and after that, you know, she treated me differently. And I was just like, I used to go in there and be like, you know, Blue, you know, like, let us in through the back, you know, like you, and it felt different. It felt good, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like big enough for people to be like, ah, that's the girl. And the, mm-hmm. the lady left, and then now I'm a regular customer. Now I got to call and wait and be sitting and stuff. It was one of those things, like, I don't, I'm always like, I'm happy if I'm behind, you know, like people don't see me and I don't have to be like mm-hmm. in the spotlight. It comes with the territory. You can't yeah. get away from it.
Well, don't get me wrong. I want to be the biggest comic like, that ever right. graced, you know, Earth, period. But it's just like, you know, I didn't say, I want to be super famous. Okay, I'm going to start doing comedy. Like, no, it's just like, man, it's like, okay, this is, you know, this is where I feel comfortable. And, you know, like, because like I said, I'm pretty sure, you know, people come over here and be like, and all animated stuff like that. And I just be like, no, I don't know. Just like, what's, I don't know. This is the way I think. I don't know. Stuff comes out.
I'm sorry. I know you laughing at me. Why are you laughing?
I was waiting for you to say something.
You want me to? What's coming up with you? Like, what you got going on?
What's going on next? Dang. I actually wasn't prepared for that. Let me see. Look at my calendar.
Like, well, you can catch me at such and such and such.
Well, I am. Yeah, I'm doing.
Hi. Where can people find out about what's going on next for you?
Well, I mean, I think I'm most active on Instagram. You know, that's at Jeremy Comedy. I'm also JeremyCipio.com. I'm actually using my website now, so it's good. You know, sometimes I go quiet on it, but you know, for the most part, that's where you get everything. You know, I actually started blogging on my website. Oh, okay. So I express my feelings and stuff. Like I will do a show and I'll be quiet about the show, but on my blog I'll be tearing them up. I mean, like, they wasn't on time, this isn't that, no. But it's just like, you know, I feel like it's a good way to get a little more in depth about you know, how I think or what's going on in my life. Yeah, well, my art, I went to a performing arts school, and I was, you know, I don't know, just I played jazz piano, you know, painted, visual art, sculpt, and all that stuff, and it's just other ways how I express myself. So okay. Yeah, you know, it's creative cool. writing. So.
I'm happy. I'm trying to see if it's something about you. I don't know. I'm in the nursing world. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you, was there anything, like, have you ever had like an unexpected trip to the emergency room?
Yeah, man, I back when I was less sexually experienced, mm-hmm. I've never had STD, right? But I'm always paranoid. Mm-hmm. So let's just say I was I had started doing some things, and I had I can just say what it is now. I had tonsillitis.
Okay.
But as an adult, mm-hmm. and you know, you never, tonsillitis is something that you hear like kids getting, mm-hmm. like, you know, little white kids, you know, I don't, never heard, like, but you know, let's just say I, you know, messed around with this girl, and then you know, a few days later you just feel like scratching this in your throat, and you think it's like, oh, just a little you know, a little cough or something like that, and then you know, that's how all, you know, diseases start in movies. Just be like,
a month later, they bleeding
yeah.
with coughing.
Yeah, and whenever I drink something, it hurt. Mm-hmm. Like it was like in pain, and yeah, I was like nervous. And then she was so nice. She was so nice and sweet. She called me and she's like, "Hey, how you doing?" I was thinking, "I hate you. You did this to me. I should have got you tested before I started messing with you." You know what I mean? Like, just I didn't know. And yeah, I was scared. I was scared. I ended up going to I used to live by Kaiser Permanente. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I walked in there. I ran in there. So,
was it that you performed oral sex on the girl?
Yes, it was because I performed oral sex on the girl,
and then your throat got scratched. And you thought,
man, I thought she burned. And you start overthinking things. Like, I remember she took these pills. I was like, that's probably herpes pills or something. Like, gonorrhea pills.
Baby, something in the throat.
It burns. It burns, and it's like, man, tonsillitis is no joke. Like, you can't eat nothing. You can't, like, when you eat, like, I'm eating regular stuff. I'm eating a cheeseburger, and it's almost like I swallowed spikes. And I just never experienced that, you know what I mean? So I didn't know what to do, but yeah, they laughed it off. And they said tonsillitis.
But like, I can imagine your chart was like, he is, you know, concerned about oral sex activity and contracting.
Cause I was like, can I get a? I don't even know. I was like, can I get a sex test? I was like, that's not what it's called. Sorry. Can I get a sex test?
Well, I'm happy you're good, and you know, congratulations on overcoming that obstacle in life.
But yeah, I had other stuff. I grew up with asthma. I've always had asthma in life. What else? My grandma was always a nurse. That's pretty much how she supported, you know,
did
the family.
Remedies. Home. I feel like all like older women have like these home remedies. And like you can't do nothing but what they say. They don't care what doctors say.
Cod liver oil. That shit is disgusting. That's disgusting. You know what's funny? They act like you need that. Like you need to take this. This is how you keep healthy. Nobody. I have not heard anybody bring that up in my adulthood. That was just like some. That's like some torture or something.
10 years later, you're gonna be like, take some cod liver oil.
What is it?
I don't know.
What is it? It's just a clear liquid. It's like baby oil, but they just renamed it. And it's just like
my grandma did castor oil.
Castor oil. It's like the same thing, yeah. Basically.
It's like, I think back in the day, nobody had money for medicine, or mm-hmm. medicine wasn't evolved, and they just like picked something. It was like, this is what we gonna call the Mecca.
It's like they just cut a fish open. And it was like, oh, this is liver. I'm not sick for 3 days. Oh, this is cool. Yeah, cod liver oil. And my mama, she used to always say, no matter what was wrong with me, she'd just say, take a bath and some Epsom salt. Like, I got a sore throat. Take a bath and some Epsom salt. And one time, I had a bad back because I always did a caddy. And, you know, you carry stuff or whatever on your, you know, golf for golfers or whatever. And she told me the same thing. Take a warm bath and some Epsom salt. If you have back pain, I'm going to say this for everybody because this is the truth. And you'd probably verify this. If you're having back pain, the worst thing you can do to take a warm bath. You first wait, supposed to ice it for 48 hours, and then you can start doing the therapy part, like warming up, like icy hot. That's why it's called icy hot. My back, I woke up that morning, mm-hmm. and my back locked. I couldn't move, and I was frozen.
Yeah, because when you put heat, it makes all the blood go to that area.
Yeah.
But I'm happy you're better. You're walking like you ain't got no
back. I'm good. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, well. It's been nice talking to you, Jeremy.
Are you kicking me out already?
You know what? Let's see. what's your goals? One thing I was like, you know, you do all this work and you now you headlining. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've been on tour. Mm-hmm. Just got off tour. You've been in movies. I remember I went to one of your premieres.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I went to one of your premieres. Yeah. And
I just take you everywhere with me. That's funny.
I had to meet you there because you're going to pick me up.
Oh, gosh.
I'm just joking. Because I don't pick people up either now. I'd be like, no, I'll meet you there. But, like, what's your goal? Like, what will make you be like, this is where I want to be? If there was one thing that you could think of, if it happened, you'd be like, this is exactly what all the work was for.
I mean, I feel like there's different lanes for comedy, you know, because you could be, you know, we have so many people be so many different things over time, whatever. But I think I'm in a line of a, you know, public speaker, like, you know, where I want to be great. And I just feel like when Chris Rock says something, they treat it like it's like official, like he's like, you know, presidential black. Like this is like there's Al Sharpton's words and then there's, you know, Jesse Jackson's words, whatever. Like nobody care about that. When Chris Rock says something, when Dave Chappelle says something, that's the new status quo. So I'll feel complete when people take my words, because I think I got stuff that can help, you know, everybody. And, you know, I just like to, you know, spread that, you know. And if there's any reason why I do comedy, it would probably be that, really, is that I want to help people. Okay. I really want to help people. I want to help people on that level. And I want to be able to say, they're like, oh, you joking? Like, I'm serious. And then people say, oh, he's serious. Like, no, I'm just joking. You know what I mean? You just never know.
And people take it.
Yeah.
Take it to heart.
But yeah, like, that's what I want. I would like to put out high caliber specials, the best produced specials, and, you know, people love it. Like, the dopest concepts. And, yeah, innovate on that level.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah. I see you pioneering with your comedy career. I can't wait to see you where you want to be. I believe in you. Mm-hmm. I believe you'll make it.
And one more thing, and I'll let it go. Because one of your questions was, what would change about the healthcare
system? Oh, yeah, the thing you would change about...
Yeah, the medicine's overpriced. A lot of medicine's overpriced. Yeah, I think it's ridiculous.
Profit.
Yeah, from
business.
Right, because of the insurance companies. You know what I mean? Like none of this stuff has that value, but the hospitals have to charge. They have to come up with a price for the insurance companies, so they spend all this big money. And you know the insurance companies is, that's like the that's like the beast under America. You know what I mean? And, you know, I just be trying to get to more peaceful resolution. I mean, you know, people want to live, you know what I mean? And, you know, Big Mama ain't got to die if you ain't trying to overcharge. You know, we got to spend a life savings on this medicine that, you know, I don't know. I just think that they should come up with some more. I think the medical field should really try to get into holistic stuff and just kind of make it more mainstream.
You know, they do have holistic doctors. People, mm-hmm. there's a type of doctor that's like straight holistic.
But like, I think you have to seek it out. I think that should be, that should, when you go in a hospital, that should be an option on the, like, it should be like, are you more holistic or do you want, you know, more whatever, you know, chemicals or both? You know, do you, you know, the best treatment to get you the best results? I just think it's become such a you know, a factory, you know, where it's like pump and push, you know, pump and push, you know, get somebody in.
When I first started as a nurse and I found out how much it costs for a Tylenol, like, and we use generics a lot. Mm-hmm. So Tylenol is acetaminophen. Mm-hmm. And so like one little pack in a little white container is like hundreds of dollars. Mm. And I told all my family, I was like, if you ever go to the hospital, take your own bottle of Tylenol and tell them you will take your own medicine. Mm-hmm. Do you know you can do that?
Well, I didn't know you can do that.
I've seen people do it. It's just like, you know.
When people care about you, I think you told me some stuff. You used to slip me some knowledge, like, yo, don't do that, you know. But yeah, you know, they'll tell you like, yo, that's a naproxen, which is Aleve. Go buy Aleve,
yeah, or whatever the case. Yeah, I feel like they try to. I don't say they try to get you, but it's business and it's marketing, and that's the way the world is. That's how people make money. But I don't think people should have to die because they can't afford to pay for. You know,
and the markup is so huge. Like if you're making like if you make twice the profit, okay, who am I to say? But they'll mark up something like that dude Martin Shkreli. He marked it up. I think it was like an AIDS pill. It was supposed to like $13, and he put it for $750. Yeah. And now he's in jail, and he should be in hell because that's evil. That's it.
Well, you heard it here first. Jerry Scipio said somebody should be in hell for making a profit.
Now buy my comedy show tickets. $750 a pop.
Well, when it, you know, supply and demand. Mm-hmm. People with AIDS, they ain't got no medicine for it, then there's a demand for it. Mm-hmm. And ain't nobody else got it, then you gotta pay. I don't agree with that at all, but you know.
Good business.
You got anything else burning that you was like, you sent the email with questions and you didn't even ask me them questions?
No, I appreciate it. I felt underprepared just because you had a waiting room. I'm telling you, that's like kill. If you ever come do this, you got a waiting room, got Krispy Kreme.
Keep the medical field, you know, like you got to sit down, you know, she'll be out in a minute.
yeah, I couldn't even get to you. I was like, can I talk to, okay, I'll just sit here.
But no, thank you so much for coming. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.